Following a new tourist attraction in Bangkok involving orangutans being dressed up and forced to kickbox, a new study has taken place to explore the harmful effects of non-consumptive wildlife tourism. Through being placed in environments vastly different from their natural habitats, the perception on how these animals live should be treated as greatly affected, further straining the human-animal relationship. James Bale asks Associate Professor Georgette Leah Burns at Griffith University how non-consumptive wildlife tourism has evolved in the modern age.
I think there's definitely been changes, you know, in it. I think there is more empathy towards animals. There is more consideration of their needs and their feelings. We have a bit more moral and ethical considerations for them, you know, in general. I mean, that's a very broad statement because obviously there's many different cultures and many different perspectives on how we view animals. But in general, we seem to be seeing that move shift a little bit across the world to be less objectified. Social media, absolutely, definitely, yeah. Things like TripAdvisors, you know, people want to go and look at elephants in Thailand or something. They go and look at TripAdvisor comments and where people are saying, you know, this is a good one, we think it's a good one to go to, this is a bad one for these reasons. Able to get that sort of information, see more about, you know, the sometimes quite horrific stuff that happens for animals in captivity and make choices based on that. So social media, definitely a big thing over recent years.
So what are some of the ways zoos and other centres of wildlife tourism objectify animals to be suitable for the gaze of tourists?
Yeah, I guess we put them in places where they're visible to us, right? If you go to a zoo and you want to see an animal, you really want to see it. You don't want to see an enclosure where it might be, but it's hidden. So we get them in places where they are made visible to us and then often can't escape from that exposure and have any privacy or anything of their own accord, even if the enclosures look really good and potentially natural. But we do it in more obvious, overt ways. You mentioned that article that I'd written about the orangutan kickboxing, which is a pretty extreme example. But getting animals to perform for us in those sort of ways, then whether it be dolphins jumping through hoops in a marine park or orangutans dressed up in costumes at a staged show.
Following up on the kickboxing orangutan in Bangkok, has there been any reaction from any animal welfare groups following it? If so, what did they address?
Yeah, most definitely. These have been really heavily criticised. One of the places in particular, you know, had its animals confiscated and taken away, but they then got more. There are always people who want to see sort of that. They portray the animals in ways that people are then encouraged to laugh at them. So there's always some people who are, you know, want to go and have that experience that they then find entertaining and fun for them without thinking what it means for the animal.
In your research, you discussed the idea of ethics of sight. Would it be okay to further elaborate on this?
Yeah, it's thinking about how we look at and how we view them. And that coming down to the example again of the orangutans, you know, is it actually okay to laugh at something that's being portrayed in that way? You know, would we laugh if it was a human being? And if it was someone dressed as a clown and they were consciously doing that to make us laugh, yes, we would. That would be funny then. But for something that's being portrayed in a way that we're laughing at it, not with it, and we tend not to do that to humans, and it's that the ethics of sight is around thinking about how we're looking at animals and recognising them as sentient beings that deserving of care and respect, and whether that really is an appropriate thing to do.
With new technologies and changing social attitudes, do you foresee this anthropocentric viewpoint improve or get worse?
So I like to think that it's, you know, we're moving away from it in a big broad sense in terms of our whole relationships with the environment and natural beings in it, and recognising that, you know, we're part of that, not we shouldn't be putting ourselves as central. And if we do that, we're compromising our own existence on the planet even as well as all the others. So I'd like to think we're moving away. And we do see that fairly generally, I think, around the world. I'm hopeful.
Associate Professor Georgette Leah Burns from Griffith University speaking there with James Bale.